You're listening to Issues in Focus. My name is Todd Christopher, Public Affairs Director for WRVM. Our topic today is God's Plan for Government, and joining us is Zach Mettler. He is a staff writer for The Daily Citizen, which is an online publication of Focus on the Family. And he writes about current political issues, U.S. history, political philosophy, and culture. Wow, that is a plateful, Zach. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Todd. It's good to be with you.
What is God's plan for government? Where in the Bible can we find his intention for government?
That's a really great question. It's an important question I think we should consider more often. If you look to Scripture, there's actually different forms of government that we see. You know, we have ancient Israel, which was basically a theocracy.
Right.
You had Israel be a kingdom for a while, and then early Christians, they lived in a Roman Empire. So you have different forms of government in Scripture. But I think for us today, in America, we live in a representative republic, which means we can all have a voice in electing those who will enact laws on our behalf. You know, I think of Matthew 22:21, Jesus said, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's," right?
Right.
And part of that is participating in the political process through engaging and then voting as well.
That's excellent. When we talk about religion and government, many of us, I think, falsely believe the phrase separation of church and state implies that the church shouldn't be involved in politics or government. Where did that phrase separation of church and state come from, and what does it actually mean?
It actually roots back to Thomas Jefferson's letter to the Danbury Baptists. And you're right, this phrase is often used by groups like the ACLU or the Freedom From Religion Foundation to imply that the church should have absolutely no influence or role in government and Christians should just stay out of government.
Right.
If you read the letter, that's definitely not what Jefferson was implying.
Mm.
He was implying that the government shouldn't be involved in the affairs of the church. So it's totally fine for Christians to be engaged in politics and to influence politics. You know, President George Washington, in his Thanksgiving proclamation, in 1789, said it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, and to be grateful for his benefits.
Yeah.
And then President Lincoln, he mentioned God six times and quoted Scripture in his second inaugural address. And so Christians absolutely can have influence in politics and government. And in America, we have a great history of that.
Yeah. I mean, it just makes sense. I mean, if our country is founded on the Judeo-Christian faith, then, you know, certainly we have to have some sort of influence.
Yeah, these writings, especially reference to Scripture, I quoted Lincoln and Washington, they are all over our history. You know, even the Continental Congress endorsed the Aitken Bible, which was called the Bible of the Revolution, recommending it to the American people before the Constitution was written. Again, a great history that we have as Americans of Christianity, particularly influencing and shaping our government.
So there is here's kind of a twofold question. What is the role of both the Christian and the church in government? So kind of individually as a Christian and then collectively as a church in government.
Yeah, that's super crucial, and thank you for asking that. For Christians, I think we have three jobs. Number one is to pray, I would say, for our government, pray for those in authority over us, that they would govern us and rule us wisely and make just laws.
Yeah.
And we read that in Romans 13, that's why governments are instituted, to punish those who do wrong and to promote righteousness. So that is part of government, and we have a role as Americans in influencing that. So number one is to pray.
Mm.
Number two, I would say Christians should be engaged and informed. There's a lot of people who think, you know, politics is just kind of dirty and, you know, we don't really want to get involved in that.
Right.
But if you think about this, you know, if Christians all simultaneously said, you know, we don't want to engage in politics anymore, I think that would leave our nation in a really bad place.
Yeah.
So I think Christians have to be engaged and informed. And then third, I would say vote. I think Christians have a duty to vote. There's some tens and tens of millions of Christians who don't vote every election cycle. And so if Christians got engaged and voted, we could singularly transform, I think, our nation in a positive direction.
Yeah.
And then for the church, you know, I'm thinking specifically of pastors. They might not want to endorse specific political candidates, but I do think they should be really clear about issues that Scripture teaches about, like the sanctity of life, the clarity of marriage between a man and a woman, and all children have a right to their mother and father.
Mm.
So these are things that the church absolutely has a role in contributing to. And then citizens, as Christians, we have a duty to make sure that those principles are then reflected in the candidates that we vote for.
Yeah, we really have just a beautiful opportunity here in this country as Christians, as believers, to really, you know, be the light of the world, as we're called to be. And government is one of the really powerful ways to do that. Well, we've been talking with Zach Mettler, again, who is a staff writer for The Daily Citizen at Focus on the Family. As I mentioned, it's a digital publication. You can find articles at dailycitizen.focusonthefamily.com. Do you have any other places, Zach, where people can find your writings or anything?
Yeah, I'm constantly publishing op-eds, but the dailycitizen.org is definitely the best place to keep in touch with what I'm doing.
Well, we certainly hear the passion that you have for this subject, Zach, and so we really do appreciate your time. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Todd, so much for having me on. Appreciate it.
And thank you for listening to Issues in Focus, issues that matter to you.